The reading can be found on page 1083 in the Bibles on the back of the chairs. It's taken from John 15, verses 1 to 17. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Anne. Just need this. Let's pray. Yes, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that if we remain in you and you flow through us, then you will bear much fruit. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that as I speak about this passage, about, Lord, what I believe you want to say to us today, that you would give us grace to listen, hearts to receive, and ears to hear you, and that we may leave this building today being filled with you, and that we may leave in your name and go out and bear much fruit for your glory. Amen. Okay. Welcome. Good morning. I've already said that once, haven't I? Because I did the Kingdom Kiss thing. But good morning again. It's nice to see you. Okay. So this is the last in the series of the sayings of Jesus, the I Ams. And he says today, I am the true vine. At this point, Jesus has just been with his disciples. They've had the Last Supper, and he's preparing them for him leaving them. He's teaching them at this point about how to stay connected to him when he's no longer with them. We understand that because we've never had him in body, but they've spent 3 years of their life with him. They've eaten with him. They've watched him do his ministry. They've been with him when he's performed miracles. They've seen him heal people and restore people. And now he's about to leave them and go to the cross. And so this part here where he's teaching them, and he uses this analogy of the vine and the branches to show them how important it is that they stay connected to him even though he's not there anymore, and that he will continue his work through them after he's left. He's already promised them the Holy Spirit and said, you'll do much more than me because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. But they still need to stay connected to Jesus, and that's the most important thing. They would have understood a vine, a vineyard, because there were plenty of vineyards outside the city then, so they would have been familiar with a vine and how it works. They would also be familiar with the Old Testament depiction of a vine, which was Israel. They were depicted as a vine in the Old Testament. They were the people that God chose, who he was going to reconcile himself to, and they would be the connection between God and mankind again. Now Jesus is saying, no, I am the true vine. I am the one who will restore the relationship between God and mankind. I am the true vine. And then he goes on and talks about the branches in a vine and how the branches need to stay connected to the vine in order to produce fruit. And in the same way, you need to stay connected to me. You need to stay connected to me so I can work through you, and then you will bear fruit that will last. He's reminding them of his mission on the earth, of his heart, which is always to bring people back to God. And they have a part to play in this now. He's going away, but they're going to continue this work, this amazing work of Jesus on the earth. And as I was preparing this, I kind of started to think about, what is the fruit that will last? What is the fruit that we need to produce and not just be branches that are kind of cut off? I think I've always read this passage believing that that fruit is like your good works. You know, you're kind of feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, looking after the sick. You know, that's all good. God has told us to do that. Those are good works. But I kind of read it in the past thinking, if I don't do enough for God, then I'll be pruned. Whoops, snip, you're no good, get in the fire. I think I kind of read it like that. And for the past few weeks, as I've been meditating on this and asking God to kind of show me a little bit more of the depth of this passage, I've realised it's not that at all. It's all about love. This passage, it's not about works at all, it's about love. And I've kind of had it like a revelation a few times, and God has shown me lots of things which I'm going to share with you today, if that's all right, because that's kind of all I've got. What he's done in me through this, I'm going to tell you. So I was asking him about, what is this fruit that will last? Is it good works? And I think, yes, it is. It is the good works. We need to go out and do that in the world because that's what we're called to. But it's also the fruits of the Spirit, the stuff that he does in us that changes our character, that makes us more like him. You know, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. I want to sing this song because we're doing Kingdom Kids and sometimes I can't remember them without the tune. This is the greatness of kids' songs. Right, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you don't know those, I will lend you our song, and within 5 minutes, you will never forget them again. It's amazing. Anyway, so those are the fruits of the Spirit, and I thought, you know, is that it? Is that the fruit that will last? The peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control. And I was like, Lord, is that the fruit? Yeah, that is fruit. That is good, and that's what God wants to see in our lives. But it's so much more than that too. And we've kind of gone, Jesus and I have gone on this journey this week and last week, and I've kind of wrestled with it a bit. I've not slept very well. I've been pruned, and it's been great. But this part of the passage really encouraged me. It says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Just that. As God the Father loves God the Son, so I love you like that. That was like, oh yeah. I don't think I've ever really understood that before, that he loves us the same way the Father loves him. He says, now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. It encouraged me because it kind of says to us, you know, if you stay in me like I've stayed in the Father, then just as me and the Father work together, me and you are going to work together. Yeah? The same kind of... Remember, he's talking to them about the works on the earth, continuing his love for people here, how the Father worked in him, how Jesus just did what the Father did. He just did what he saw the Father doing. And in the same way, if we stay connected to Jesus, if he's in us, like the vine feeds the branches, if he feeds us and we allow him to work through us, then we'll see amazing fruit that will last. But I was like, flipping heck, that's kind of blown me away. I want that relationship with Jesus where he can just flow through me as the Father did him. So how do we stay connected to Jesus? He says, If you do my commands, you'll remain in my love. And he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And that's the truth, isn't it? There's no greater love than someone who will lay down everything, including their life, if they need to, for a friend, for Jesus. This is where our part comes in. This is where our will comes in. This is where it matters what we do. We need to do what Jesus says. We need to love one another. And we do it through obedience. It's a choice. Love is a choice. Do you know that? Love is also a feeling. There's romantic love. And there's love for your children, which for me, it's something I couldn't switch on and off if I tried. It's just in me. But there's also love that's the choice. Love is an action. It's something we choose to do for each other, for Jesus, when actually we'd rather not. It might cost us something. And there are Christians in the world that are called to lay down their life for their faith. Right now, there's people dying for their faith. Thank God we're not. But it made me wonder, I'm like, well, Lord, what is it? Would I lay down my life for him? Would I? And I really struggled to say, yeah, if I'm honest. I really struggled to say, yeah, I would. I would say, I'm a follower of Jesus. You can do what you want to me. I would struggle with that. And I believe that those people in the world right now who have got the strength to do that, have got the strength because of Jesus. They've only got it because the Holy Spirit is in them, giving them the strength. Because we're made to survive. We're created to live, aren't we? And to fight for life. So, but then I felt like God say to me, well, what would you lay down? If you wouldn't lay down your life, or if you can't answer that, answer this. What would you lay down? What's my life that I need to lay down for my friends, for Jesus, so that he can work through me? And I thought about my life. I was right, okay, here's the bit now that's going to hurt a bit. Here's the pruning. Here's the bit that God shows me where I struggle to put myself to the side for other people. And it's the bit where, you know where in the passage he talks about branches that don't bear fruit? I was reading about vines, and apparently sometimes what will happen is that the branches will produce a little bit of fruit, and then sometimes they'll just keep growing into stick. So the fruit stops, and it's just stick, and it looks like it's dead wood. It looks like there's nothing there. But if you break it, inside there is life. And what's happening is that branch is stealing the energy from the fruit. It's taking all the life away from the fruit and just producing stick. And I kind of felt like this is the stick bit of my life. This is the bit that's not producing any fruit, but it's kind of sapping me of energy. It's kind of robbing me of the ability to produce fruit. So I said, what is it, Lord? What is it in me that's just stick, that needs kind of cutting off? And straight away, I knew it. It's not like I need to dig very deep. I knew straight away what it is that I struggle to lay down. And for me, it's staying on task and keeping to a time frame. So I hate to be late, and I hate it when people are late to me. I really, really hate it. If we're late, the whole family is stressed because mum's stressed, like, get your shoes on, we're going to school, come on. Because the thing is, we've got to get to some place on time. And it doesn't matter what's going on in each other at that moment, because all I'm focused on is getting to school. Let's say school, because that happens every single morning, 5 times a week. We have to get to school on time. And isn't it funny that the devil knows, doesn't he, the bits in us that we really struggle to produce love and kindness, gentleness, self-control. In those moments, he knows me so well that just as we're about to leave the house, Hope will say, I need the toilet. I'm like, can you wait? No. I've got to go to the toilet. I'm like, right, go to the toilet. So then she goes to the toilet. She comes down. She goes, my tights are uncomfy. I need to change my tights. And she's pulling them off as she's going back upstairs to change her tights. And I'm at the door going, we've got to get a spell. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is none of that in those moments, believe me. If you were in my house in the morning, it would be like, oh, she should not be standing up there talking about this. But I should, because I've been pruned. I can tell you that this is the stuff that stops me from showing love and kindness to people. It stops me from being bothered about the person, even my children, who I would lay my life down for. In that moment, they don't see a patient and kind mummy. They see the most stressed out, angry, green slime-producing monster that they've ever seen. And that's what I'm like. So timekeeping is something that I'm like, it's really important. I think it's because years ago I heard a sermon from a guy that I really respect, a Christian man, who talked about living an excellent life. And he said, we need to do everything to the best of our ability. You put your best into everything. If you're meeting someone, you get there on time because it dishonours them if you're late. And I was like, yeah, yes, I agree with that. Lateness is a sin. I was properly like, this is not happening in my life. And I kind of fed that in me. But actually, Jesus never had a time frame, did he? He was never like, come on, we've got to get, we're meeting, you know, whatever he was called, tax collector for lunch, we've got to get going. He just lived. He just was ready for the Father to meet with people all the time. And as I was praying about this and thinking about my stick, I thought, well, how, you know, in reality, I know it doesn't show patience and kindness to my children, but Lord, I would always lay that aside for you. I would surely would, wouldn't I? And he's like, well, would you? And he reminded me of the story of Jairus. Do you all know the story of Jairus? Jairus was, I think he was a synagogue leader, was he? Yeah, I think he was. I should have checked that. But he was a synagogue leader, and his daughter was really poorly. And Jesus was, and he went to find Jesus and said, she's dying. Can you come and heal my daughter? And that's like really important, isn't it? That's like, you know, time frame here. She's dying. You need to get there on time. So Jesus is coming through crowds, not moving very fast anyway, because there's crowds all around him. And Jairus is taking him to his house where his daughter is dying. Now, in this story, I'm like, yeah, that's really important. If I was Jairus, I probably would have picked him up and run with him. I would have barged through all of those people to get Jesus back to my daughter who was dying. That was how urgent it is. That is a time constraint when somebody's dying. We feel like it's desperate, don't we? So Jesus is going, and on the way, in the crowd, there's a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. She's got haemophilia. She's been bleeding, and she sees Jesus in the crowd and thinks, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. So she reaches through the crowd and touches his cloak, and she's healed. Immediately, it says she was healed. She felt the condition leave her body. And immediately, Jesus knew that somebody had touched him and was healed. He felt the power leave him. And so on the way to a dying child, Jesus stops and says, who touched me? Now, at this point, I'm Jairus. I'm like, excuse me. Never mind who touched you. We're going to... My daughter's dying. Can you hurry up? And Jesus says, who touched me? And the disciples say, well, there's lots of people touching you. There's crowds everywhere. Come on. You know, get to this daughter who's dying. But it says, no, it's... But let me find it and read it to you properly. But Jesus kept... It says this in Mark. Jesus kept on looking to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And this is the bit that made me go, whew. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. You see, Jesus isn't about the task in hand, not even when it's to do with healing people. He is about healing. Of course, his will is always to heal, but his work is to restore the relationship between mankind and God. He came to bring us back to the place where we are daughter and son of God. And the woman who'd been bleeding was an outcast. She was a dirty person. She was a woman for a start, and she was bleeding and she was dirty. She wasn't the daughter of some synagogue leader. But Jesus wanted to know her. Jesus wanted to stop and speak to her and say, you're healed. You're my daughter. When he stopped and spoke to her, she heard the words of the Father, daughter. And in that moment, he healed her physically. He healed her socially and brought her back into society by healing her and speaking to her and stopping and lifting her up. And he restored her identity as a child of God. Now, I'm that woman. I'm that person that God's restored and healed. But I'm also the person in the crowd who goes, just come on. Come on, we're on a mission. As it happened, Jesus went and he did heal Jairus' daughter. Because, you see, in God's time, there's no, you're late. There's no, oh, whoops, you're 5 minutes late, she's already gone. Nope. When we're willing to stop and let Jesus work through us, when we're willing to stop and give people the time, the love of Jesus, then he can do so much more. You see, the fruit that lasts in that woman's life, it wasn't the healing. She died. She's not still here. That woman died and went to heaven. And the fruit that lasts in her life is knowing Jesus. That's the fruit that will last. I know people who have been healed by God and then got sick again. I know people who've been healed of bad backs and then the backs have been miraculously restored and then they've gone again. You know, we live in a world where healing is momentary, isn't it? It's in the now. Because when we get to heaven, there won't be any need for healing. There will be no sickness and pain and disease. It's just for now. The fruit that lasts in people's lives is the stuff that changes eternity for someone. It's the bit where they meet with the risen Lord and he restores them back to the Father. That story of Jairus, it really made me go, oh, I'm so sorry, Lord, for the times when I've rushed past someone, when in my busyness, even doing work for God, even this morning it happened, I was preparing my talk and Hope came and sat on my knee and she said, come on, I'm much more important than your silly work, give me a hug. And I'm like, I've got to stand up and say this soon and you need a hug. And of course you do. And I had to put it down and lay aside my time frame and my panic and my fear of getting all this wrong and say, yeah, you are. Come on, let's have a hug. There's been times in my life when I felt like I've produced good fruit, you know? But then I look at it and I go, no, I didn't. I just did the momentary stuff. I just did the task. I just did the job. I just did the feeding of the poor. I didn't stop and talk to them and offer to pray or tell them how loved they are by God. I didn't do that because I'm a task person. I'm a get the job done to the best of your ability person. I know most of you are probably people. And I love that. I love this church. I've never felt so loved by another church than I do in our church. And it's because you're all really good at loving. I'm not so good. You can teach me. God teaches me. And I'm learning. I'm learning the importance of stopping and letting Jesus flow through me so that he meets with people. So that was the first thing I did. And then the other thing that happened that, again, was one of those things that I went, oh, that's what it is, Lord. That's what it is. So there was a story of Jairus. And then recently, a friend of mine, Hannah, who's Jan Wilson's granddaughter, she is amazing. And she did some work with women in prisons and used to go and tell them about Jesus and share a life with them and pray with them. And she told them all about him. And lots of the girls gave their life to the Lord through what Hannah had done and through her work. And recently one of her girls died tragically. And she wrote a blog, Hannah, and put it on Facebook for a bit. And I read it and it just made me go. And she talked about this girl in the blog and how it's broken her heart that she's died. But the good news is that this girl had already given her life to the Lord. She was a Christian. But before she died, somebody asked her about church and God. Am I getting this right, Jan? From what I can remember, I don't know the finer details, but somebody asked her about church and she said, oh yeah, I know Jesus because I know Hannah. I went, flipping heck, what a life to live where someone says, I know Jesus because I know Holly, because I know Dan, because I know Jan, I've seen Jesus. That is what I want. I don't want to be somebody who just goes and puts a plaster on something or says, yeah, God loves you, and then moves away. I want to be somebody who every single day, when I am out in my life, I give Jesus the time to come through me and speak to people and change their lives. That's what I want. I want to bear fruit that will last into eternity. I want Jesus to work through me so much that I don't even know he's doing it. That's my prayer, because sometimes I think, Lord, use me, and then I mess it all up because I think, oh, I could do this and I could do that. No, Lord, just use me. Don't even let me know you're doing it. But love people, Lord, through me. We have such a privilege being the body of Christ. There is nobody in the world that can show people who Jesus is except us. Do you know that? There are millions of people doing good in the world. There are millions of people feeding the poor, providing shelter for refugees. And it's all good. But there's only us who can carry the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ into people's lives so that they can be changed by him. And that is such an honour. That's the fruit that will last. That's the difference between remaining in Jesus and just going about and doing good works. Do we get that? Do you want to be a person who somebody says, I know Jesus because I've met that person. Because I work with Jan, I know him. She's shown me what Jesus is like. Sorry, I'm getting a bit passionate there. That's okay. But are we prepared to lay aside our lives so that Jesus can do that? I wonder what it is in, what's the stick in your life that prevents you from bearing fruit? Mine is, I've told you, I've shared it. I mean, there's lots more sticks, don't get me wrong, it's not just that. But the time thing, the attention to detail, the concentrating on a job, don't interrupt me because I'm busy and I'm doing a good work. What is it in you that you really struggle to kind of go, no, you're more important right now? Is it busyness like me? Is it pride? Is it winning an argument with somebody? Well, I'm not going to be wrong. I'm not backing down. I'm right, they're wrong. That's also been one of my sticks. Is it unforgiveness? Is it you've hurt me, so I'm going to keep you over there? I'm going to stay away from you because you've hurt me, and I'll never let you hurt me again. Is it simply that we don't believe that he'll do a good work? Is it unbelief? Is it lack of confidence in what Jesus has said? So we kind of just go, yeah, you're doing great works over there. I'll just watch. Is it that? What is it in your life that stops Jesus from being able to get to people through you? Because that's what he wants. He's out on a mission. It's eternity for people. That's what he wants. And it starts with us. And it starts here. And it starts right now. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. I chose you. He says this to them, and he says it to us today here. I've chosen you. You didn't choose me. You're all chosen. And everybody in here today is chosen to go out and bear fruit. If you're in Jesus, you're chosen for that. Amazing work. And it starts with us. We've got to love one another. Jesus said, my command is this, that you love one another. I'm going to go back. I'll put it on there. Yeah. It starts with us and it starts in the church. We cannot afford not to love each other. We cannot afford not to lay down our lifestyle, that extra stuff in our life, for each other when we need it. Because if we don't love each other, what will happen is Satan will come in with his pruning saw and he will start lopping us off. He will cause division in the body of Christ. He will cause division in us and in the church. So it's really important that we do what he says. Jesus knows what he's talking about. And when he says you love each other, he means you need to lay down all of that for each other. And then you'll remain in me. We see the fruit of that church now. It lasted. Look at the church. Look at the multitudes of people who are believers who've already gone to heaven and those of us that are left, and there's more to come. And we're all part of that. We're all part of Jesus growing his church. But we have to love each other, because if there is division in the church, then there is division everywhere. Unity is what God wants. He's come to restore relationships. First of all, with God and the Father, and then restore relationships of fathers to children, of mothers to children, of husbands to wives. He's all about restoring. And we need to be part of that. We need to make a decision today that I am going to love you. I'm going to choose to love you no matter the cost to me, because Jesus said so. Not because I feel like I like you. Otherwise, we just love those we like. And I wouldn't be loved by very many people. But we make a decision to love. And then I just put this on the end, just to remind us what that love is. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says this: love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Will you stand with me today and make a decision that for everybody in this church here, in St. Luke's, in the church all over the world, because we're all the vineyard, we're all the church of Jesus Christ, will you stand with me today and make a decision that you are going to love one another and me, and I'm going to love you like that, no matter the cost to me? I am easily angered. I easily speak words into people's lives that hurt them. I'm a person of many words, you'd be surprised. And that's how it comes out in me. But I can choose to speak good stuff to you and to build you up, or I can choose to tear you down. And my choice, Holly Heap, this day, no matter what's gone in the past, I choose this day, from now on, I will no longer tear you down. I will no longer tear down my children. I will no longer join in with gossip about the church, whatever denomination. I will no longer tear apart the body of Christ with my words or my actions. And I have in the past. I've joined in with, oh yeah, well, they do it this way, they do it that way, they're wrong, they're right. Blah, blah, blah. What matters is that we love. God's the gardener. He prunes off. We don't need to prune. We need to love. And I want to invite you today to stand with me and make a decision that we will love as Jesus loved us. And we will care for each other, and we will protect each other, and we will trust each other, even if we've been let down in the past. I choose to trust. I choose not to be offended. I choose not to pull anybody down, even in my head, from now on. And if you hear me, if you ever hear me being nasty to someone or snapping, you have every right, and please do, come up to me and say, you chose to love. We don't do that anymore. We're God's children. We don't do that. He loved us enough to lay down his life. He was obedient to that choice, even facing a crucifixion. There was nothing that kept Jesus from doing the will of the Father. Nothing. He looked at the cross. He sweat blood. He was filled with terror and trauma at looking at that cross. And yet he said, not my will but be done, but yours. When the soldiers were driving in the rusty nails into his hands and his feet, the very people who were nailing him to the cross, what Jesus said was, Father, forgive them. He didn't probably feel like that at the time, I'm sure. He probably didn't feel like going to the cross, I'm sure. But he said he'd already made a decision. I obey the Father. I've made a decision. I obey Jesus, no matter the circumstance. I'd just like to pray. Can I pray for us? And could I invite the band up? Is that okay? It's been, as you can probably tell, it's been a tough few weeks, me and Jesus, with this, and it's been amazing. I've seen another way. I've seen what life can be like if we love And if I choose to remain in Jesus by loving each other, by loving you and loving him, to the point where I will hold nothing back, I will not indulge myself at all if it stops him from working. I have seen what that can be like. And it's eternal. It's the place where Jesus comes in and meets with people and saves them and restores them back to the Father. We do it here. We start in our own homes, we start in our own church, and then we go out and bear the fruit every day. So would you stand? Just want to give us just 5-10 seconds of silence, just to let God show us the places in our lives that he just wants to snip back, because it's just stick. We've all got them. We've all got something. I've got loads. And we just want to give him permission. Lord, we just give you permission to show us that today. Show us the bits in our lives, Lord, that stop us from loving people. Lord, I thank you for the word that prunes and cleans us and brings life and healing. As we stand before you, Lord, we let you heal and restore all the wounded places in our lives. All the places where people have caused wounds to make us weak, where the fruit can't grow. All the places where we withdraw from each other in self-protection. Lord, we're so sorry for the times when we've stopped your work because we've held on to stuff that's just dead wood. And Lord, show us the times where we've wounded others. Show us the times, Lord, where we have pulled down and not raised up and left a wound, Lord, on a brother or sister. Lord, forgive us and heal them. Bless those, Lord, that we have caused pain to, and flood them with forgiveness for us. Lord, restore your church, restore your people, bring unity here, heal and strengthen us, give us everything we need, Lord, to love each other. We can do this only in your strength. And Lord, as we remain in you and you in us, flow through us, Lord, with your love. Help us to see people, Lord, as you see them. Help us to see past the need and see the person. See the person who's desperate to reach out and touch your cloak. Help us to see the people in our lives, Lord, that are desperate for you. And Lord, stop us long enough so that you can work through us. Let us be, Lord, a vineyard bursting with fruit that will last, that brings glory and honour to the Father. And Lord, when you look at us, we pray that you will be pleased. Just put your hand on your heart as I read this last prayer. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonour others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Lord, we choose that love today for each other and for your church all over the world. We choose that for you. Help us, Lord, to do this. Help us, Lord, to move forward from this day in love and unity for the glory and honour of Jesus Christ. Amen.